All right, folks, going to be checking in now with Leo Holman. Leo's got a brand new article up. Here it is. He just got this online. Documentary filmmaker launches Brainwashed America 2, showing how to identify and disrupt globalist plans to bring down the U.S. Leo, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for being here. Thanks for writing this article, by the way.
Thank you, Brandon, for having me on.
Tell me about your thoughts on the documentary last night, and tell us about what your article is reporting.
I thought it was extremely thorough, Brandon, and revealing in many ways. I think if people take the time to watch this, they will definitely come away with new insights on the whole COVID pandemic, looking at it as a psychological operation, basically a military psychological operation. And I love how you tied in what was happening, what is still happening with that, what has happened and what is still happening with the experiences of the POWs in both Korea, in the Korean War, and Vietnam, and how our soldiers who were taken captive and made POWs in Korea, they had a very different experience compared to those who were the POWs in Vietnam. Why? Because they were not grounded, they were not taught, they were not trained by the military in how to deal with that type of propaganda. It was only after that, when this big study came out about the successes of the Chinese interrogators in propagandizing our soldiers, that the military started, you know, training our men on how to deal with that type of mental, psychological warfare should they ever be taken captive, which, as you know, there's a very good chance in many of these wars that you will end up in the enemy's prison camps. So, yeah, I really urge people to read this because they're going to come away with a psychological insight into how they, I mean, even people who never took the shot, they didn't go that far. They didn't buy the propaganda to that extent. But they, some of them still bought it up to a certain level,
yes.
Like the constant testing, for instance. You know, why do you need to constantly get tested for a disease? If you have a disease that's you know, capable of killing you, you don't need to get tested for it. It's going to be self-evident.
Right.
You know, so that was part of the psychological, you know, getting inside people's minds that they needed to, you know, if they just got the sniffles one day, they needed to run and go get tested and get that swab shoved up their nose halfway to their blood-brain barrier. You know, little things like this, you will find yourself, I think, being convicted in you know, you can sort of see yourself in some of these circumstances when you read about or hear about in this documentary the experiences of these POWs.
What did you make of the interview Terry Turchi, the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, and I interviewing that FBI asset who was tapped to look at Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Muslim Brotherhood, their community, and had a lot of footage that could identify the people so they could be prosecuted, that were involved in burning things down, looting, rioting, raising money illegally from overseas. And then they were told by the prosecutors, by their FBI handlers, that the federal prosecutors aren't going to touch that. Destroy it, mm-hmm. And now go find us some white supremacists in the Patriot groups. And the FBI asset said, after looking at these groups, they're not white supremacist groups. They're patriots. They're Blacks, whites, Hispanics, there's nothing here. No, you go find us some white supremacists in these patriot groups. And the asset, the FBI asset, says this was before January 6th. So clearly the FBI was trying to lay the narrative that the great threat to America were patriots. What do you make of that FBI asset coming forward and being in this documentary?
Well, it just shows the duplicity of the FBI. It shows that they do have an agenda. They're not just seeking blind justice, which, you know, according to our Constitution, justice is supposed to be blind, right? It's supposed to be applied evenly without favor or bias for or against anyone. The facts are supposed to speak for themselves and determine whether or not somebody gets charges filed against them and prosecuted and sent to jail. That's just the way our system is supposed to work. But this asset, FBI whistleblower, he came right out and said that they didn't want to hear about Black Lives Matter or Antifa engaging in crimes. They wanted to find crimes. Who was it that said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime?
Yep.
I mean, was that Stalin, I think?
It was one of those. Stalin, yeah, that sounds pretty close. It's one of those guys.
I mean, if you look hard enough at any individual, you're going to find some law that he may have broken or come close to have broken, and you're going to be able to prosecute him. And that seems to be what the FBI is doing with this asset, saying, find me a white supremacist. He couldn't find any violence in these militia groups. They didn't even hold rallies, he said.
That's right.
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, he came away empty-handed and very disillusioned, and I guess that's why he became a whistleblower.
Here, let me show a little bit of that. This is from my documentary, Brainwashed America, Part 2. You can watch almost 3 hours of Part 2 at WVWTV.com. Here's the part that Leo and I are talking about from last night's premiere.
We must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving American democracy than MAGA Republicans are to destroying American democracy.
In 2009, the Department of Homeland Security during the Obama administration listed as right-wing extremist and even potential terrorists those that believe in end times Bible prophecies, stockpiling food, ammunition, or weapons, Americans that were concerned about immigration policies that could undermine their very jobs and wages. Americans were potential extremists if they held to these beliefs, according to a Department of Homeland Security report. If you are concerned about infringement of your Second Amendment rights, according to the DHS report, you might be an extremist. If you're concerned about a financial collapse in America, you might be an extremist. According to the DHS report, if you are a veteran of our armed forces, you might be an extremist or potential terrorist. Remember, this report was written in 2009. By January 6, 2021, attending a political rally to hear President Trump speak in front of the White House got some people labeled a domestic terrorist and a visit from the FBI. What America needs is for more whistleblowers within our federal government to come forward and expose the corruption and illegal actions of federal agencies that have been co-opted by the cultural Marxists and their useful idiots. In 2020, an FBI whistleblower contacted my friend, Terry Turchi. Remember, Terry is the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI. This whistleblower was an FBI asset and had photographic and video footage of crimes being committed in their community by proponents of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Muslim Brotherhood, and various revolutionaries. The asset declared in a broadcast with Terry and myself that the FBI and federal prosecutors were not interested in bringing these insurrectionists to justice, but were committed to covering up their crimes. The asset reported that they were instructed by the FBI to destroy all the footage and pictures of these crimes. But it gets much worse. The asset was then instructed to infiltrate patriot groups and document the existence of proponents of white supremacy or domestic terrorists within these patriotic groups. The asset informed their FBI handlers that white supremacists were not within the ranks of these patriotic groups. And in fact, the groups consisted of whites, blacks, and Hispanic Americans. The asset further informed us that this false narrative was being orchestrated by the FBI before the January 6, 2021 events at the U.S. Capitol. Apparently, the FBI was working long before January 6 to classify patriotic Americans as domestic terrorists. Watch this clip in which Terry and I interview this FBI asset.
My involvement with the FBI was initiated when I came into possession of information, videos, and photographs of violent activists, looters, and arsonists affiliated with local democratic socialists, BLM, Antifa, and CPUSA. My agreement with the FBI, after a period of initial introduction, was to pursue information on these bad actors via social media access and attending local events to secure surveillance for them. I set up accounts on various platforms. I was able to identify multiple individuals involved in violent activities, including arson, destruction of property, physical assaults, potential terrorism, weapons violations, potential money laundering, and fundraising for organizations in Islamic countries. I was told these individuals were under FBI investigation as a result of my surveillance. After a period of time, I was asked to change the direction of my surveillance, and I was asked to focus on a specific number of potential white nationalists, defined as being members of a specific white nationalist anarchist organization. None of the individuals I surveilled were active in illegal activities that I could associate with them, unlike the BLM, Antifa, and CPUSA, basically activist communists. Now they wanted names of local militia group members and to include individuals with far-right political affiliations that may appear violent.
Were these militia groups the kind of militia groups you hear about when you think about Oklahoma City bombing and guys running through the woods in the weekends that are wanting to overthrow the government? Or were they real militia groups like that were like, anarchist type, or was that term militia just being put on people that were patriots that want to maintain the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and such rights?
These are patriots. These are individuals that form militias within their own community to aid one another in caring for their community. They're not terrorists, they're not activists, they're not anarchists, or anything like that. So up to this point, none of the groups identified as white supremacists by the FBI had presented as any threat anywhere in the state. There had been no crimes, there had been no activities, no action, no protests even. But my FBI contacts were receiving pressure from the top, as they put it, to produce names and activities.
Were any of these folks people of color? Were they Black Americans? Were they Hispanic? Were they, in other words, you think of white supremacists, and clearly they would not, they wouldn't let different people groups within their ranks. But my guess is they probably did have Black conservatives and Black Americans and Hispanic Americans within their groups. Correct?
They certainly did. They just weren't getting the information on the white supremacists because they didn't exist. I mean, they weren't active in criminal or terrorist behaviors. So after the election, the FBI knew from information they were receiving that there was no retaliation after the election from the groups that they had labeled as white supremacists.
What is amazing about what we just heard from the asset is how consistent the story that the asset is telling us is with the findings we had during the 1990s. The 1990s were an age of extensive domestic terrorism in the United States. Think back to the Unabomber. Mm-hmm. Think back to Timothy McVeigh and the people who attacked the federal building in Oklahoma City. Think back to Eric Robert Rudolph and the bombings that he was involved in, including the 1996 Olympics. By 2000, when I became the deputy assistant director of the counterterrorism division, We had never had a study on these people and who we might be looking for. So we brought in a special agent, clinical psychologist, who had access to the Secret Service, had access to law enforcement officers across the country. And she concluded in the only study of its kind that still exists today, by the way, that we need to be very careful when we're involved in domestic terrorism cases, because more often than not, militia groups are social groups. They're people who want to do the right thing. Many times they tell these people when they notice the things we noticed about Rudolph and about someone like a Kaczynski, they ask them to leave their group. So what has changed? What has changed since the FBI's own study? What has changed since the 90s? What has changed is the FBI. The FBI, and I think we're going to talk about this at another time, but has undergone a fundamental transformation where it provides information about white supremacy, about white supremacist groups, because that is now the priority. And that's why attorneys in the Department of Justice don't want to hear about anything else. They are dead set, they're dead on trying to prosecute and give examples of what they're now saying exists. But it doesn't exist. It's a framing issue. And I use framing to say marketing. It's they want people to be thinking like this, that, President Biden was right. The Democratic Party is right. Black Lives Matter is right. The Weather Underground, if you believe all this, was right. White supremacy, white privilege, and white hate are the problems in America today. What is the real purpose of spreading that message? To divide and conquer and to infiltrate institutions. And that is a real problem that the FBI is now finding itself on that end of the investigation.
You finished that part. Here's one more comment. I was going to stop there. Here's one more comment. Listen to this.
A video of one particular arson event with individuals on video that have been identified during the event. And they completely backed off of that investigation and said the prosecutors don't want to go after it. I was asked to suspend my evidence, is how I'll put it. I was told to walk away from it, from the evidence that I had. I was told to erase it and to get rid of it.
The evidence that would implicate groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Muslim Brotherhood, you were asked to get rid of that?
Yes. Not asked. I was told to get rid of it, erase it, get rid of it all.
Wow. Leo, pretty shocking.
Yes, but I'll tell you what, Brandon. The FBI went rogue shortly after, a few years after 9/11. That squares actually perfectly with a story I reported in my book, Stealth Invasion, about an incident that happened here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. It was actually in Lawrenceville, Georgia, where a black Somali Muslim refugee attacked and beat a woman outside her own house. She picked up a flagpole that was made out of PVC pipe that was on the woman's mailbox. She didn't like this American flag, apparently, and she saw the woman and her daughter sitting in lounge chairs in the garage. She picked up that PVC pipe off of the flagpole and beat the woman mercilessly right there in her own garage, and she was never charged by the FBI with federal hate crimes. We don't have a hate crimes law in Georgia, but as you know, there are federal hate crimes laws. And I talked to an FBI agent who was familiar with the case, and he told me that if I asked him if it had been reversed and we had a white American citizen picking up a Somali flag from a Somali refugee's house and beating that refugee with the flagpole, would you have investigated it and charged the person with hate crimes then? He assured me that they would have. So this is not a fair-minded, legitimate law enforcement agency any longer.
And Sidney Powell has testified on here as a former federal prosecutor, she's written a book about it, that the FBI routinely lies, buries evidence that would make people go free, be exonerated. The FBI has really become a criminal organization.
Yeah, that's undeniable. That it would be hard to refute that. There is no way that you can use the color of law, operate under the color of law with a badge and a gun, and say to the American public that we're going to look for a people of a certain race and prosecute them for crimes that barely ever happen, if they do at all. And we're going to ignore crimes committed by people of another race, you know, whatever the races may be. That's not legitimate law enforcement. Hmm.
So any closing comment, Leo, on the documentary in your article at leohoman.com?
I would just urge people to read the article, watch the documentary, and you will learn a lot, and you will be waiting with bated breath for part 3.
Thank you, Leo, as always.
Thanks, Brandon.
His website's leohoman.com. You can check out that new article. Also find out about his book, Stealth Invasion, leohoman.com, leohoman.com. Now, before we go to our next guest and final guest for tonight, Wes Peters, on a brand new White House document that just came out September 16th. That was Friday, I think. September 16th on digital currency. Don't forget, over at mypillow.com, folks, this is how we are able to fund everything. Use that promo code B66. You get savings, we get credit. You get savings, we get credit. What do we have over there at MyPillow? The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history, as low as $29.98 with that promo code B66. They still have the mattress sale going on. You can actually get the mattress that shows up on your doorstep in a box. It's amazing. Check it out. Use the promo code, please, B66. You get savings, we get credit. We also have the MyPillow at the cheapest price ever, as low as $19.88 when you use that promo code B66. The slippers, as low as $49.98. Hey, Logan, do you have that screenshot you can show that Michael Reagan sent me? Well, let me see if I can send it to you real quick. My buddy Mike Reagan texted out this week. Here it is, Logan. I'll text it over to you. Here it is. My buddy Mike Reagan texted out this weekend. Many of you know who Mike Reagan is, Ronald Reagan's oldest son. That's who gave me my start in talk radio. This is what Michael Reagan tweeted out this weekend. I have flat feet and osteoarthritis, and my friend Brandon House sent me Mike Lindell's slippers. Only slippers that have never caused me pain when I walk. Thanks. Now, look, I've known Michael Reagan over 30 years or so now. He wouldn't have put this out there if he didn't. There was no obligation. I didn't ask him to do that. He had no obligation. He did ask me about the slippers a few months ago. He asked me, and I said, they're amazing. I'll send you a pair. I'll gift you a pair. I'll send them to you. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I said, what's your shoe size? And I sent him a pair. And I followed up that he got them. He said, thank you. I got them. Thank you. That's all I heard until he tweeted this out over the weekend and sent me and said, hey, check out this tweet. So I'm telling you, folks, these slippers are amazing. You can get them as low as $49.98 at MyPillow.com. Use that promo code B66. We also have the towels at work. What a concept. $44.98. Mattress topper, comfortable mattress topper. Again, use the promo code B66 and you save. There it is. There it is. The tweet by Michael Reagan. I have flat feet and osteoarthritis. And my friend Brandon House sent me Mike Lindell's slippers. Only slippers that have never caused me pain when I walk. Thanks. So there you go. There you go. You can have a pair of slippers just like Mike Reagan. Check it out. And you're getting something great and supporting us at the same time, which, again, is how I put out the documentaries, like Brainwashed America, for free. You can go watch the full thing, 3 hours, at WVWTV.com.